quote from Mardasya of Adla, and Rishus, the Kol HaKadosh, the Chasher Megishurim, Rabbanim, and so on. And two small, I guess, personal notes. First is, we finished off a Masechta about all the Rosh of all the Sheino and Tov, for someone who has a Shokan Tov. I've been here, it's actually 12 years, and the Sheinus, one of the unexpected bonuses was the Sheinus with a wonderful city of Seifrim and Chachomim, of Gedolei Torah and Rabbonim. I get to know more and more people with a stronger kesher, and it's been one of my tremendous zchusim in being in Silver Spring to have this wonderful relationship with the Kala Kadisha of Baltimore. A second hargosha, and I say it a lot of times to Talmidim, you know, even people who are secular get together to do inyanim shel chesed. Chazal had the criticism of chesed lo mechatos, but b'chol zos, the concept of a group of people getting together for chesed is anyone who has something of a tzura sodom has that. People who have hakara v'likus, some sort of religious sense, get together for tefillah, as limited as they understand it, but a concept of people together to daven, to some sort of alikus exists. That people should get together to sit and to learn is something that is unique to Klal Yisrael in the format that we have it. And Mikam Klal Yisrael, it's something to sit and to be proud of. There is no one else that even shares a havamina of a musig, of coming day in, day out, learning and learning. It's something that I think it's proud to be part of Klal Yisrael. What I'd like to, instead of I guess a speech or anything of that nature, or even give us orus, I think what I would like to do is to learn a piece of Gemara. It is a piece of Agadata that we finished the Masechta with, and the problem with Agadata is that Agadata is the deepest part of the Gemara. It's the place where Chazal put in the deepest and the most profound ideas. They've cloaked it in words that allow it to be either simple mishalim or even look sometimes strange. And people who have started to chip away at the edifice of Chazal usually start with the Agadas. And being able to learn an Agadata and be able to see where Chazal, what depth they put into it, really gives us insight, even on the Chazals we don't understand, to at least know Shal Nalecha Malecha Kamocha Mashata Omid Kodeshu. Chazal didn't play games. The same amount of thought and depth that they put into the great subis of overcoming subis, they certainly put that amount, if not much more, into the Chelik of Torah, which is borders on Sisrei Torah. So we're going to take that last mimer, that last piece that we learned. We'll try to get some sense of understanding. I look around, I see there's a very diverse crowd. I don't know, I run the risk of either over-explaining and insulting intelligence or not explaining and leaving things strange. If either one, please comment. It's just very hard. I see the range here from Migodl, we'll try to understand what lies in a Chazal. And as a general remark, the reason why Chachamim chose Lamashal, if you look Lahavdil Elif Havdalos at a law book, you find dry laws, and then there are casework where you dig up cases that happened, and you compare that to the law. Chazal use cases, and we derive the law, because you can pack a lot more information in a case than you can by spelling out sentences. So when Chazal gave us a case, in that case itself, the Gemara darshins, this chelik, that chelik, why is it under this circumstance? It allows to give over a lot more teichin when you give it as a ma'aseh shehayah a lot of times than if you give it straightforward. So in Agadas, Chazal, again, Allah has kama v'kama, they put a tremendous amount of effort into putting in so much into a story so that we can take out so much from it. Let's take the Maisa that we read. Let's go over the details of it. It says like this. They punished this group that was called Bilga. Tana Rabbanan. Maisa b'Miriam bas Bilga. There was a woman called Miriam. She was of that Bilga family. Shehi Miro Dasa. She converted. V'holcha v'nisis l'sargit echad mimalcha yavan. And she married one of the officers of the Greek kingdom. Kishenichnasu yavanim l'heichol. When the Greeks came in, hoysa miva'etes b'sandolo agava mizbeach. She started kicking with her sandal on the mizbeach. She started desecrating the kodesh of mizbeach. V'omra, she said, Lucas. Lucas is a Greek word meaning a wolf. Ad masayata mechalem amoynan shei Yisrael. How long will you keep absorbing, destroying Klal Yisrael's wealth, meaning the karbanis? V'yata oymer aleihem b'shas hadchak. And you don't at all respond to them when they're in need. Like now, the Greeks are trying. But it's an extraordinary, the concept of a mishumet has been, we don't talk about it because it's such a painful, difficult topic. But, I mean, she still had kindness to Hashem. She was still wrestling with it, be it as it may. And then when they heard about it, they closed off. They had a little window to keep their knives and their clothing and their tapas and so on. So first of all, two or three just general observations. The ones that fought against Yavon were the Kohanim. Aldei Kanecha Kedoshim. And it was a Bas Kohen that actually was the one who went and to their side. There's something very extraordinary about it. Secondly, it says, Avnei HaMizbeach Asher Shiktzu HaYavonim. It says they especially defiled. We all remember this story about the Menorah. But it was the Avonim of the Mizbeach. And it's hard not to hear in her kicking against the Mizbeach specifically that she was somewhere, this is part of the defiling of the Avonim, defiling Mizbeach. And it's hard to understand why of all of the Inyanim, the Mizbeach they picked. Kodesh HaKadosh, we understand, that's going to the heart of it. But this is something that's a little bit strange. Another interesting Nakuda is Bilga has another meaning. It says that it's not another meaning, actually. It's probably the same derivation. The 24 Mishmoros represented different constellations, different mazolos. And the Bilga is the mazel. It's a Perek Rebbe Loza, Perek Hei. There's some machlokes of Gersos, but it seems to be most Gersos say it like that. It is the mazel that starts Tkufas Tevis, which is Chanukah, the Chanukah Tkufa. The Maral speaks specifically that Chanukah is the Yontem of Tkufas Tevis. Just two or three, just points, just to get a sense that this is part of the larger picture of Yavon versus Klal Yisrael. But let's try to understand exactly what was the battle here? What was going on here? What was the ideology and bitterness and where was the Yavon over here? Let's start with a halacha and with something that Chazal actually speak about in the Medrash. L'chura, she was right. She called the Mizbeach Lucas, which means a wolf. Halachically, it's in a very appropriate term. The pasuk says Binyamin Zev Yitrov, that Binyamin is a wolf who tears at his prey, and the Gemara Darshans, this is talking about the Mizbeach that was in the Chelek of Binyamin. There was one corner that was not in the Chelek of Binyamin, and he was very upset about it. He seeked to devour that Chelek. Lahalacha, the part that was not in his chelik, didn't have a yesod, and you couldn't actually make the zrika of the tamid on it because you needed ze'ev specifically. The ze'ev Yitrov is the characteristic of Binyamin that allows for the Mizbeach to be built there. It gives it a certain din Mizbeach for certain things. And for certain things, because it's not in the Chelko Shel Ze'ev, it's not in that, it can't be used. It's extraordinary. What is the mile of being Ze'ev that is exactly the place where a Mizbeach can be built? And Chazal in Medrash emphasize it. It says in Medrash Rabbah, 2 points about it. First of all, he says, Pinchas Pasa Kro B'Mizbeach, on B'yom Zevitar. Ma Hazeva Zechoitev, just like a wolf tends to grab its prey and run off with it, I assume, I'm not familiar with the zoology, but I assume it's a lion is strong and brave enough to stand and to eat there because he's powerful enough. A wolf can actually be, it's a smaller animal and it's attacked sometimes by the other animals. It snatches and runs off with it. So just like a wolf snatches its prey, so too does the keves, and so too does Mizbeach snatch the karbanis. What exactly is the snatching? I mean, we brought it, B'leib Shalom, we were makdish it. We must have never should be makdish karbanis. What does it mean that the carbon, the Mizbeach, grabs the karbanis? And actually, the word chotef and the word teref, the targum, Rashi says in this week's Seder, teref is chetef. Torah, chetef, it's in a few places, targum like that. Grabbing, the word taraf, as grabbing prey, is like the word chataf. So, in what sense, the Mizbeach, Chazal are telling us, not only halachically is it the chelko shel zeiv, but actually the act of getting karbanis is called an act of chatifa. Who are we grabbing from? Chazal pointed out something interesting, that same medrash about a wolf. It says that a wolf tends to go for the heart. And it says that's why Gemara Shabbos says that they used to put protection against the heart of the animal. A wolf tends to grab, and that's part of, like, just like a zev goes for the heart, Binyamin also, and it brings the Chazal by Ehud and so on. So we have an extraordinary description and puzzling description by Chazal of a Mizbeach being Ze'ev-like, and the property of the Ze'ev is to be Torif. So let's explain it, let's understand it, because it's a key to understanding a very deep Indian about Mizbeach, and Achilas Mizbeach, and so on. The point, Reb Tzadik says it, in a kuntres that was printed in the later editions, it's called Kuntres Eis HaOchel, it's printed in later editions of Pri Tzadik, And he says that, I'll say it over in my words, but the nekuda is there. When a person eats, so there are two inyanim being performed while we're eating. The first thing is we are physical people. Our body is made of protein. It needs energy. And it's a physical exchange. We take in food to give us the body and so on and so forth. That is the inyan of achila, as every animal does. And that, he says, is called achila. There is something else also. Every single thing that was created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu carries in itself some sort of inyan that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just like a person has an neshama, it says a famous version of Baal Shem Tov, "La'olam Hashem dvarcha nitzav v'shamayim." Every single entity in the Bria carries some sort of chelak of Hashem. When a person takes food and he makes a bracha on it, he recognizes the elokus in it. Yes, I see it's a Bria. It's flavor. It's nivros. What it contains in itself. And that hakara is a minute where I can actually see, in other words, I deher something divine in the food. It says, Godel halagima mekareves es abriya. When we sit together over a Shabbos table, we're not just feeding ourselves. There's something about the achila that has a dimension to it that brings people together. Yayin zisamach levav enosh. Every food, just like a body has a guf, and in the guf there's an neshama that permeates it, every entity in the Bria has in itself some sort of nitzutz, some sort of spark that we bring it out when we relate it with Kedusha. A person's family life, there's a physical part of it, and there's a nekuda of ruchnius to it. There is nothing in the Bria that exists devoid of that nitzitz. When a person takes something, so the part that's physical is naturally, there's a natural give and take. It's food, I ingest it, digest it, and so on. The other chelik is kind of, think about it, trapped in it. A potato is a potato, it's very, very physical. Trapped in a potato, there's a certain nekuda that if I look at it and I say, Marabu Maser Hashem, then I inherit something that's kind of contained in it, and I liberate it, release it, elevate it, however you wish. Person takes food, and he dumps it in a fast food place, and the person comes in and gobbles it up. So he took meat and potatoes, dumped it into a stomach of a person, and that's all it is. Person takes a Shabbos table, person takes a Lava Malka, in the food, there's another dimension which allows people to be nis'ala. That would appropriately be termed chatifa. In other words, chatifa means I snatch something from an environment that it's embedded in. When I grab something away, I'm grabbing it. It was by him, it was in his pocket, and I grabbed it. When you kidnap somebody, modern Ivrit, Khatifa is kidnapping people. He's in his society, in his environment, and I grab it out. When I take something out of where it's been embedded, Latoiv or Lemutav, sometimes it's criminal, many times it's criminal, or I liberate something, that is called Khatifa, and it's Hebrew correlation, or it's Tataref. I grab something out of it, and that's and out of what it's embedded in, what it's enmeshed in, and I have it. So the whole avoda of mizbeach was the avoda taking an animal. We're not allowed to eat the blood. The reason we're not allowed to eat the blood, it says ki adam hu anefesh, like Rabbi Chaya says, another rishonim. Every living being has something that's a spirit to it. A human being has the right to the flesh of animals. But in the dam, that's something too divine. The koyach hachiyus, even of an animal, does not belong for us to consume. It's above us. The only makom that dam has that's appropriate for it is on the mizbeach, because that is the makom where everything alakus in the bria finds its place. So the zrikas hadam belongs to the mizbeach only, because that is the makom of divine sparks have only one place. Meat, we can look at it just as physical. Dam is something that has only that place. And that's why zrikas dam is kasha only in the chelik of the person who's called Zev Yitrov. The one who has the quality of being able to be choytev, the quality of Zev, which is to grab something out of it. And it's remarkable. Chazal say the Zev goes for the heart. In other words, the koach of Zev is to grab onto the life force of something and take it out of the meat and the fat. The mizbeach takes the dam, the nefesh achai, out of the behemah, and that's nis'alat HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the it's kasha only. That's the Zev of Binyamin. The Megal HaMukah says that Binyamin is the Yisod of Avoda, because that is Avoda. Avoda is that nekuda of divine and godliness that we're able to grab out of the physical and put it there. So let's take a second and let's just recap it, and then we'll understand some of it. The Klal Yisrael looked at the inyan of the physical world as being two-layered. Everything in the world has a physical self, and it has some nekuda that's from Hashem, like it says in the Pasuk, that Varuach Tashuv Elohim Ashenasana. The Ruach is something which goes back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because that's where it comes from, actually. It's a type of Metzius that doesn't have a place here. it's trapped over here, and when we're able to bring it back to its natural place, it's been liberated. Avoda as a whole includes that element. It includes the element of taking everything in this world, separating out what's really divine and what's physical, giving the body its share, and bringing the rest up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's go to Yavan and understand one of the fundamental machlokas of Yavan and Klal Yisrael. One of the apex of Chochmas Yavan, to some degree, is Aristotle, who the Rambam, the one nekuda that the Rambam really lashes out against him is Kadmus. In other words, Aristotle's vision of the world was physical existence is eternal. Within that realm, there is God, whatever, however you understood it, and man. In that relationship, it's tit for a tat. In other words, the Yevonim's understanding was, we bring karbanis to the gods. The gods give us something. The gods have nothing over us. They're more powerful. So it's a relationship. We pay taxes to the gods. God's got to provide roads and armies and stuff like that. That was the seichel of the Yevonim. Yes, there are gods of sorts, but it's important. It's just as justice. If I feed it, I give it back. The concept of avoda did not exist at all the way we understand it. Their worship was a dual relationship. Just like if I feed somebody, I give somebody a meal, I expect something back. Pay for it. There's shekei nena. There's halachically, if you didn't agree to price, you can charge him something minimal, that whatever it is that he got out of the meal. The price of there was no such thing as worshiping without getting a return. That was Yevonim. Klal Yisrael understood that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the sheirish of everything, and therefore whatever he gave, or it's not something Adam, so we plow the ground, we eat, goes back into the ground, and back and forth, there's a cycle. But the Ruach, Asher Nesana Elokim, goes back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It doesn't belong, it's trapped here. Avoda is not the process of maintaining a relationship, a tit for a tat. It's the process of bringing back to the Sheirish what really belongs there, what doesn't belong here at all. Miriam Basvilga, she became a Yevani. The place where she let out her Yevanis, the place where she let out her Kruma day of Yevanis, was on the Mizbeach. She saw the Mizbeach as a one-way road, going up and nothing coming back. Yevanim understand that to be wrong, and we say, yes, Avoda is to bring it back. And that's why Sukkah is the Masechta where this is the most appropriate. On Sukkahs, we brought Karbanis connected all the Masa'ilam. Every Umas Oilam, all the Ayin Umas, contain in themselves a some sort of nitzas. If they're a nivra, they've got a makom. It says on Sukkos, Lasad Lava, all Umas Oilam are expected to come on Sukkos. Sukkos is able to include Umas Oilam if they would want. And the Purim were connected to Umas Oilam. It says if they only knew how important it was for them. The Mizbeach on Sukkos absorbed all of the nitzaytzos and the bria. Anything that was divine had a place to be in this Allah on Sukkos. On Sukkos, we would go around the Mizbeach. It's only Yom Tov where we actually were makit the Mizbeach. And when we left, Kesher Niftarim, they would crown the Mizbeach and say, Yoifi Lecha. They would adorn the Mizbeach and say, this is the Yoifi Mizbeach. The Yom Tov of being able to include everything and bring up all of those nitzotzes to the back to where it should come, even the Masoilam, that was on Sukkos. And there was one woman that was rebelled against it, was Mei Medasa, and she went to Yavam Dafka, and she was boed in the Mizbeach. That's Chazal Wakoveit over here. It was this time of the year, and it's extraordinary. I, you know, it's hard to sometimes just a remozim, but lemaisa, this was the pagam. In other words, Sukkot is the end of the Yom Tovim, and it's the crowning moment of Yom Tovim. It's the Chag HaOsif, and we were able to include the entire world, like the Sotzer Sharam says, that if you think into the purpose of creation, and creation of man, is to bring the whole world tachas Hashem, to be mis'al everything. Sukkot, we should have done that, and there was one piritza, was this Miriam Bas Bilga. Chazal punished that Mishmer. They could not use anything in Hegdish to make life easier. It says the purpose of those rings was to hold the behemoth back so Shechita would be easier. The purpose of those little closets was to put the sakinim, to put the begadim in it. In other words, to be able to be nene from Hegdish, you could only take if you understood that Hegdish is not giving, you're not getting back what you paid. Hegdish is, you're eating yourself gavurat. Hegdish doesn't owe anything to anybody. It is a one-way street. And they made that piritza. The fact that Chazal, that we had to add another yontif for Tkufas Tevis of Hanukkah after Sukkot, hard not to feel that it's the tikkun to be metakin the piritza, that this one Sukkot, if Sukkot would have finished without this type of piritza, we wouldn't need to go further. One of us went over to Yavon, made this be'it and the Mizbeach, created this piritza, and b'meilo, we needed to wait for a Kohanim to come and to be seisim the spirits again. Of course, like all Chazal, this has a tremendous meaning for us in Avoda, instead of Avoda, the purpose of Avoda is not to, it's not a tit for tat relationship, it's the Dvarim Pshutim, but understanding that the purpose of Avoda is that everything in the Bria has a place, either to stay here or to be Nis'ala. The things that belong here, the Aresos of Adam, that goes over here. The things that are the Nefesh of the Bria, the things that are the Neshama of the Bria, the things that are the Ruach Bria, go there. It's not a deal with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not, we're not giving and take. It's not, this is the one place that's not give and take. This is the one place where everything goes there. It's the Nekud of Mizbeach, which Sukkah should have been the ultimate, his Alos of Mizbeach. We should have been able to be Niftarin from the Mizbeach, with fully being Makid Mizbeach and saying, Yoyfi Lecha. This one piritza that happened, because it's from Kal Yisrael, It creates a real piritza, and therefore the Bezus Hashem, the we wait for the next Nekud of Yom Tovim, which are Mimala this piritza, Seisim the piritza, this Yivani made, and Azegma B'Shem Mizmor Mitzvah Hashem Hanuk Sanas Beach.